Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today is Tuesday, March the 5th, 2024. Thanks for joining us. Joining me in studio is Wesley Wildman. Good morning, Wesley.
Good morning.
Fred Jackson.
Good morning, Tim.
And in Kansas City is our good friend Ray Pritchard. Good morning, Brother Ray.
Good morning, Tim. How you doing today?
Doing well for this Tuesday, March the 5th. I got one more day to be 60 years old.
That's right. We celebrated his birthday party. We had that on Sunday afternoon for lunch. Mom cooked a big meal.
She did a great job there.
She did a good job. It was.
I approve.
We did approve.
I approve of that meal.
I remember on my second plate, I was able to let everyone know it was good to go.
You tested it, right?
I tested it, made sure. And I wanted to know what to stay with and what to avoid. And I confirmed after plate two that it was all good.
It was all good.
Talking about my lovely and talented wife, Allison, who made our whole family, all our kids and 10 grandchildren.
That's a bunch.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Our little house, we got 2,600 square feet.
Yeah, well, there's 18 people in there.
And 18 people in there.
10 kids.
If anybody had COVID, we all got it.
That's right. 10 kids. The food was wonderful. You got to.
Well, I tell you what.
Yeah.
Your mama, and I could say that with affection. Yo mama.
Yo mama.
She loves her some butter.
That's right about that.
So we had broccoli with our butter.
That's right. Good.
And then we had lima beans with our butter.
That's right.
And
I noticed the way you put that. Not butter with, on the lima. Right. You had like right. with lima the butter. Beans.
And then how do y'all cook at y'all's house, Ray? You'd like a lot of that butter?
Oh, listen, the more butter, the better, right? Butter is good for the heart and the soul. Well, and for the soul, anyway.
And all the cardiologists listening right now.
Remember the two B's, butter and bacon, okay?
Yeah,
butter and bacon.
I was sitting there watching her make the broccoli, and I said, she pulled out a whole stick of Lando Lakes butter and threw it in the pot. She said, this is how my grandma made it. Yeah. This is how I'm making it.
Good enough for grandma, good enough for me. Yeah. That's right.
She actually did add a little bacon or a little ham.
Yeah, a little ham hock. You got to put a little ham hock in there to
give it
flavor.
I wasn't just saying they're separate. We actually put them together, butter and bacon.
Yeah.
Or a little ham.
Well, okay, so what did you have for the main deal, Jay? Was it roast beef?
Chicken spaghetti.
Homemade.
Chicken spaghetti with rotel.
Oh yeah! Oh yeah!
Oh yeah!
Really good. Yeah. I don't know if we're going to be able to get to the program today.
We're going to like well just break, helping right
break
now.
Here, Romy's restaurant down the road.
We'll do a cooking show.
little local. We got a little local restaurant here in town.
Was
called
there
Romy's.
Room for dessert after all of that?
We had birthday cake,
that's
Fred.
Right.
Oh,
and right. It was awesome.
Yeah,
it was just traditional white cake with icing on there.
And 60 some candles.
61. I had to blow
16.
Out.
16. One in a six.
Well,
I mean,
you know,
sorry.
You reach a certain age where they don't put the candles on there anymore. They
that's
just
right.
Put
they're
it on,
too many.
They put it on.
Sets off the alarm.
It's not even decades anymore. It's score.
That's right.
You know, 20 years. So right. Three
score. Like a basketball score.
Uh-huh.
So we celebrated three score in 1 year for me. But actually, my birthday's tomorrow for those who want to send gift certificates and golf balls and that I can anyway.
So your birthday's tomorrow. Well, you're sharing a birthday tomorrow. With somebody else on staff.
Who's that?
Yeah.
One of our youngest addition, Bronson.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's tomorrow. Yeah.
He's slightly younger than you.
Yeah, appreciate you pointing that out to me, Fred.
And yeah, reminding us.
Like he's
pretty
in
much everybody slightly younger
right.
than him, right? Well, you've reached that age, right?
Yeah. Yeah, what the old saying, there's more in the rearview mirror than there is in front of us.
Yeah, that's right.
For some of us now. And Wesley hadn't reached that point yet, but.
No, but I have reached the point where y'all told me 10 right. years ago that if you keep eating that pizza, your doctor's going to tell you.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Well, we're at that. We are there.
What are you, 30? What are you?
34.
34. Okay.
So the doctor has told me now.
Yeah.
Stop
eating.
You have
to watch that.
That's right. You have to be more careful.
Yeah. It doesn't just fall off of you anymore.
No,
it stays on you.
No. It does.
All right. A lot to talk about today on the program. We thank you for listening to American Family Radio. Wesley, tell folks if they want to, the different ways we have of getting this program out.
Well, right now we're still confirming whether our social media accounts are working for different reasons, but I can tell you for certain that AFR.net, there you can find us streaming our audio to our radio live. It's 24/7. Also, the AFR app is what I would encourage you to download if you have a smart device. It's the AFR app, and the reason so is because the AFR app has three different of our networks. It has the talk station, which you're listening to now, has our hybrid station, which is a combination of music and talk, but it also has its own set apart station that's just radio. So just music. So it's just music station is on the AFR app, and that music station that's on the AFR app, you can't get anywhere else. So go to AFR.net or download our AFR app.
Fred, first story.
Well, I guess we can say that, Donald Trump in the news a lot, and a lot of it is negative.
He doesn't like that. He doesn't seek attention.
No, not at all.
He would rather not be in the limelight.
Mainstream media tells us every day about all the trials he's facing, et cetera, et cetera. But he's having a pretty good 48 hours.
Yeah.
Yesterday, the 9-0 decision by the Supreme Court.
That's right.
He was very happy with that with regards to efforts by some states, Democrats.
Well, that was ridiculous.
Keep him off the ballot.
Yeah. Colorado, namely, they tried to keep him off the ballot. And Supreme Court of the United States said 9-0, you're not going to start that. We're not starting to keep somebody off the ballot.
Yeah. So although there is an effort, there were some reports this morning, some Democrats in Congress say because the court said something of this nature, insurrection clause has to go through Congress. So there's a few rapid Democrats that are saying, well, we're going to make a try at that.
Sure.
It's not going to work. But anyway, they had to be on there. By the way, the ladies at The View yesterday went ballistic on this.
Yeah, that's disappointing.
What a surprise.
Now, I say Trump had a good day. Anytime he makes the ladies of The View angry, that's Trump. Trump's having a good day.
They were mad at Trump or they were mad at the Supreme Court?
Oh, mad at the Supreme Court. They just think a total injustice was done.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Anyway, he had the 9-0 decision yesterday. Last night, the results came in from North Dakota. He took 87% of the vote in that primary there, so he picked up 29 delegates. And today is Super Tuesday. 16 states and a territory are all voting. That the voting started early
this
morning.
What territory?
We're going to go to
Samoa.
Samoa, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Yeah, we'll stay up all night and wait for the results.
Wait for the results from Samoa.
Samoa.
We'll be here all night. Wait for that.
That's right. Tomorrow morning, our time.
The states that will be voting today will be Alabama, Arkansas, California, Colorado, Maine, Massachusetts, Minnesota, North Carolina, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Texas, Vermont, Virginia. And just I know that we kind of can predict where this is going to go, but it is important when we're talking about voting that AFR mentions that we have a voter guide. Uh-huh. And go to AFAaction.net. We have our voter guide there, and keep that in mind as we press forward into.
Yeah, and that's also for even some state races, congressional races. It's the best voter guide for Christians all over in America. There may be somebody just as good, but none better.
That's for sure.
It's called iVoter Guide.
Yes.
iVoter Guide. Many people, millions have used it.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so big day, Super Tuesday. It's called Super Tuesday probably because it's maybe the day when more people vote in a primary than any other day on the calendar, right?
Yeah. And the way things are going, both on the Republican and Democrat side, if Trump and Biden have a good night, this will pretty well nail things down for them. If there's about 854 Republican delegates at stake here, you add that to what Trump already has, it would put him over 1,000 delegates. 1,200 and something is kind of the bare minimum what you need in delegates. So a lot of people watching this just to see the numbers. The predictions are that Trump will have a good day today. That's the prediction.
Oh, yeah, he'll probably sweep.
Yeah.
Probably sweep the Republican. Right. I don't know. Biden will sweep the Democrat. So, you know, I think everybody's pretty well known this for at least a few, couple months now where this was headed. So, Nikki Haley, the former governor of South Carolina and U.N. ambassador under Trump, U.N. ambassador, right?
Yes.
She is staying. She's in now, but I don't know. After today, I wouldn't be surprised if she didn't. Say tomorrow she's.
Yeah, you know, she's defiant. I'll give her credit. I mean, she hasn't quit. She was on with Fox and Friends this morning, and she says she's staying in there. She says the people need a choice. I'm going to play you a cut, a little bit, some Nikki Haley, some Donald Trump, talking about polls, et cetera, et cetera. Cut number six.
If you look at any of the general election polls, Joe Biden and Donald Trump are even. I think there was a Fox poll today. He was up by two. That's still margin of error. Between last week's poll and this week's poll, I defeat Joe Biden by up to 18 points.
It's a lie. She knows it's a lie. Look, I have beaten Biden in every poll taken for the last 3 months. She loses to Biden in the poll. She had one fake poll that was taken a long time ago, actually before she started on her little kick. And where she was up, nobody ever heard of the poll. Nikki Haley loses to Biden. She will lose to Biden. The polls are saying that. And then when you add other candidates, she loses by even more.
Yeah, Steve Jordahl just ran off the latest polls, even up to yesterday. Donald Trump is beating Biden in all of these polls. I'm not sure. Maybe Trump is right that she's looking at an old poll. But in these latest polls, according to Real Clear Politics, these are Fox polls, Wall Street Journal, CBS. It has Trump. Some of the polls not up by much, but he is beating Biden.
Well, now, just may show my ignorance here, but is legally could she be on the GOP ballot with Trump in the general election or no?
No.
So only one.
You have to be. You have to win your party's primary, and then that only that person is, unless they break off and go independent.
Yes. Okay, so unless she goes independent, there's going to be.
She said yesterday she's a Republican.
Okay.
So what'll happen in the end? You know, this is what happens every time they fight and squabble and call each other names, and then in the end they.
But usually you don't go this long, right? Well, after tonight, we'll see.
Well, it just depends. You usually don't go this long unless you're closer to one another. And,
that's right.
And Nikki Haley's been trailing Trump by 30, 40 points most of the time.
Sure.
So that's not close. Ray, you agree with that analysis there?
Well, the only reason I can see her going forward after tonight, when she's going to get swept, she's not going to win a single state. She won D.C., okay? But that's an outlier for Republicans. She's going to get swept. The only way I think she goes forward is in the hope or maybe prospect that Mr. Trump gets in legal difficulty, which could happen if one of the trials actually goes forward and he gets convicted. And you could imagine certain scenarios. That's the only reason I could see for her to stay in the race after tomorrow. Otherwise, after she gets swept tonight, if she stays in, her vote numbers are going to go down and not up.
Okay. Arguing about what Trump said is kind of a moot point, all right, about Nikki Haley.
Right.
But Nikki Haley in the Fox poll, Fox News, Nikki Haley on... I'm looking at Real Queer Politics. On Sunday, March 3rd, she shows up, Nikki Haley 50, Biden 42.
Okay.
So, this is me talking. This is why I say it's a moot point, because Trump's going to win the Republican nomination. So, arguing about whether or not Nikki Haley could beat Biden is a moot point, except to say she could. Uh-huh. Okay. And I think she in a general election would have just as good a chance to beat Joe Biden as Donald Trump.
Are you saying that based on numbers or your opinion? Or
well,
both?
Every poll I've seen, she she beats Joe Biden.
Okay, gotcha.
But so does Donald Trump now recently. Sure. So I'm just saying, so really it only matters who's going to win the Republican nomination, which will be Trump, as we go into the general election in the fall. I think what Ray's talking about with Nikki Haley, if she stays in beyond now, she's just trying to count, get delegates and go to the convention and then maybe take 30%, who knows, of the delegates. And as I've said, Trump is 78 years old in June. Your health starts deteriorating at that age. A lot of people, mental and physical. So what if he has a heart attack in June? What if he has to have both knees replaced in August? I mean, what if he starts showing signs of going downhill mentally? And you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
I'm just saying these things. Now, she won't say something like that out loud because it doesn't sound good. All right. But I'm just saying, we all know that those things happen to people of Trump's age, and she may be thinking, I'm going to hang in there, and who knows, I may finish second, he may not be able to run, and I'll be the nominee. That's what I'm saying she may be thinking if she stays in the race. Yeah.
And the question is, though, if Trump is still well and he's at the top of the ticket, can the party come together? And that was another question that was discussed in the interview this morning that Trump did with Fox News. Cut number 5.
As a certain person, Gavin Newsom, said, there is a man named Gavin Newsom. He interjected himself into this. He said, she's their best surrogate for the Democrats. And that's right. She lost when you had Republican primaries where Democrats were allowed to vote. And they went in large numbers to try and make me look bad. And I still won. There's no path for Nikki. I wish Nikki the best. But she stood up and many, many times said, I'd never run against our president. He was a great president. I would never run. And then she ran. So, you know, those things you don't like to see. You like to see people that are truthful. With all of that being said, our party has to come together because we have to beat the Democrats, and they play dirty. They play very dirty.
Now, has Nikki responded to whether she would get behind Trump?
She has been asked that a number of times because going back to the early debates when there were, 12 people on the stage or whatever it was.
That's right.
And they were asked, will you support the eventual nominee?
There you go, yeah.
And she put up her hand saying yes. Mm-hmm. Recently, she has been asked, would you support the nominee? And she has refused to answer that question.
As of recent?
Oh, just in the last 2 or 3
Listen,
days.
Yeah. Okay. If I criticize Trump, people get mad and emotional and everything. Sure. I'm just saying, can we not do that? Okay. Trump did not say he would support the Republican nominee.
That is right.
So I don't want to hear from Donald Trump about party unity and all this stuff. Yes, I'm going to vote for him because the Biden, it would be a disastrous second term. And I think the vast majority of people who vote Republican are going to vote for Trump, who are Republican are going to vote for Trump, because to see what Biden would be in a second term would be, again, for the Supreme Court, the federal judiciary, it would be absolute disaster. Disaster. So it's a binary choice. Trump represents the best choice, in my mind, for conservatives in November, if he's the nominee. He did some wonderful things as president his first term, but he's not a unifier. Okay, he's not. He calls people names like a fifth grader. He acts like a child. He's bipolar in that way. He's a grown man who can lead on one day, and the next day he sounds like he needs to be put in the corner in timeout. So it's up to him. He's the leader of the party now. It's up to him, not Nikki Haley, to try to unify the troops. You see what I'm saying, Wesley?
Yeah, I can't agree with you more on that. I can't agree with you more. The reason is because, well, I don't know. Did I say that right?
I didn't know what you said there, if you agree with me or not.
Let me rephrase.
You need to agree with me.
I do agree with you.
Because he's 61.
That's 61 years old. No, I agree. I do agree that the ball, and it has been for a while, the ball is in Trump's former President Trump's court to unify. He did that very, very well in his first run in 2016, about 18 months to a year leading up to the election. he did a really good job of meeting with different groups, including the evangelical Christians, and finding the things that mattered to them, and said that he would work in areas that, so he's done that. He's proven that he has done that before. And I hope that we see that here in the next, what do we got, 8, 10 months?
Yeah. Really interesting. Just before coming into the studio, I put an Associated Press story on our site, AFN.net. And the story is that Trump's people are meeting with Mitch McConnell's people. Mitch McConnell and Donald Trump have not been best friends in the recent years. But apparently McConnell is on the doorstep of giving a formal endorsement to Trump. Because McConnell, as we know, last week he announced that he's stepping down as leader come November. But the speculation is he would like to see, obviously, Republicans take the Senate back.
Yeah.
And to do that, he has to publicly endorse Trump. And apparently, as I say, according to the AP, they are in talks. And we're going to get a formal endorsement, apparently, from McConnell of Trump. Probably after Super Tuesday or within the next 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah, right. This is what happens, you know, this is what happens in politics, right?
Well, it, you know, as we sit here today, it doesn't seem likely that Nikki Haley would endorse Donald Trump. But when she pulls out and he's the inevitable nominee, she'll get behind him. It may be a half-hearted endorsement. She's probably not going to go out in the stump and make speeches for him. But, yeah, you get in line, you support the nominee. That's what it means to be be on the team.
Yeah. Well, I would just say this. Trump makes it harder than it needs to be to unify. We mentioned this before, and I don't know why he does this. I can't explain it. But it doesn't hurt him. Doesn't seem to hurt him. But, you know, it's one thing to say, I'm running against Nikki Haley. Here's where I'm good and she's not, or I'm better or whatever. I can be, that's all wonderful. That's all good and fine. You start calling a woman a bird brain who is the governor, former governor, two-time governor of South Carolina, and you're a UN ambassador. That's personal. That's demeaning. That's insulting. So when somebody personally insults you, it's harder to reconcile. That's just what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I say, for Trump, I go, why do you call her bird brain? Why don't you just say, Nikki? Why don't you just say that? That way you can get back together easily, more easily. You see what I'm saying? But I don't know why he does it, but his supporters don't give a rip what he calls people.
Tim, he's proven. Go back to 2016. Remember what he called Marco Rubio and
Ted Cruz, lying Ted Cruz.
Yeah.
Marco, little Marco. He was coming on his stature.
Uh-huh.
So he beats all I've ever seen. He can absolutely get away with anything, and he knows it. He said, I can shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue in broad daylight and people still vote for me. So, I mean, you got to give him credit for being Teflon, Fred.
Well, I think a lot of people have come. They may not like what he says, but they've come to accept his personality. This is Donald Trump.
Yep.
I agree.
And he's a fighting, spitting business tycoon from New York.
And the 3 years that he was in office, the way that the first 3 years in which he was attacked.
No question about it.
I think that right there, there's a lot of factors in here, obviously. But the way that he was treated, people remember that.
Yeah, no question about it. No question about it. All right, we'll be back after this short timeout. Stay with us.
Did you know that every day, Preborn's network of clinics experiences 200 miracles? How? Preborn gives women with unplanned pregnancies a window into their womb through free ultrasounds, introducing them to the beautiful life growing inside. Once she meets her child inside her womb and hears their heartbeat, the chance of her baby's life doubles. Because of the generosity of you and me, who donate just $28 to sponsor an ultrasound, Preborn can do this. The cost of a dinner to save a life, the most worthwhile investment you can make. All gifts are tax deductible and go entirely to saving babies. Someday you may meet a baby that you rescued and you can give them a hug. Or maybe they'll give you a hug. Maybe they'll even save your life as they grow and pursue meaningful careers. One thing is for sure, you will never regret saving a child's life because life is a miracle. Please donate your best gift today. Just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back to this Super Tuesday edition of Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim Wildman, Wesley Wildman, Fred Jackson, and Ray Pritchard. We were talking about former President Trump is about to wrap up the delegates he needs to be the Republican nominee. He is going to probably sweep every state today. Nikki Haley is the lone opponent on the Republican side. Everybody else dropped out earlier. So we'll see how she fares today. But most people, everybody I listen to think Trump will sweep in terms of the numbers today. You were going to play one more clip.
This morning, one of the Fox and Friends hosts was at a restaurant in Texas and talking to people about where they stand. It seemed to be a very Trump-friendly crowd. But one of the people they talked to was a black conservative, a gentleman. And I found his comments has rather interesting as to why he says he believes many, and he particularly said black men are supporting Trump. Cut number 8.
Well, I love to hear Donald Trump talk every time he gets on stage. You know, as a black Republican from the inner city, I can tell you I like Donald Trump, but it has nothing to do with his tennis shoes or indictments. The majority of black men across America, we do have conservative values. We do have businesses, and we want to raise our kids without the undue influence of Democrat policies. And so that's what he stands for, and we're going to stand with him.
So I think it goes to what we've been talking about. His personality issues are over here. But what people are going to be voting on in November is the economy. It's going to be the border. And they see Donald Trump as someone who is going to go 180 degrees to where Biden has taken the country.
Yeah, do you call the word fability? In other words, Biden's obvious mental and physical downward trend, I guess you could say. Go ahead, Wesley.
Well, and it's two things. One, Trump has proven to do the couple things that you mentioned as far as what they're wanting out of him. He's proven to have already done that. Number two, I did have a question, though. Was that a layperson or was that a spokesperson or who was the audio from?
He apparently ran for office in Texas, and Trump did give him an endorsement.
Okay, well, the reason I ask is that he handled that question exceptionally well. He spoke for a lot of people.
Yes.
He did a really good job.
Yeah. You know, we've talked about the border being a major issue. There is a story, and Tim, I think you sent this out last night, from the Daily Mail, and the headline is, Biden administration admits flying 320,000 migrants secretly into the U.S. to reduce the number of crossings at the border.
We need to post that story so people can have it for themselves.
We can do that.
Would you post it, Brent, at our Facebook page? Do you have it?
Yes, I got it, and I'll post all the stories probably after the show since Facebook is
still
down.
Facebook is down. Are we being cyber attacked again?
Our cell phones. Check your cell phones, everybody.
Ray, did you know about this story?
You're talking about the flying them in, right?
Yes.
This is a shocking admission, not just that they're flying the migrants around inside America, but they are flying migrants in from various places to cities in America, and this has just come out. It's a is it a surprise, Tim? No, it's not a surprise, but it's shocking that the government would they bring them in knowing they're illegal when they're bringing them in.
Well, you remember, we began to see this, I guess it was almost 2 years ago. We began to see stories here and there, while the mainstream news, about flights bringing illegal immigrants to different places around the country. Remember this?
Yeah.
In New York and other places. And now, this may have been separate. This is separate. I didn't even know about this story. No, it was separate. This is a separate situation.
Totally. This is
bringing people from other countries.
And initially, it was like Governor DeSantis in Florida. There were people, illegals, arriving there, and they said, we want to go up to New York.
Well, Biden was flying them in the middle of the night, too.
Yes.
To different places. You remember that?
Yes. This is different. This comes as a result, according to this Daily Mail story, has a FOIA, the Freedom of Information request against President Joe Biden's immigration agencies. So this is a request based on probably from a journalist, and this is what they found out. This is United States taxpayers' money being used to send Biden administration planes to other countries to pick up people who want to enter this country to avoid our laws, our immigration laws, and bringing them back to this country. According to this story, 320,000 of them.
Just 1 year.
Yes.
Just 1 year. Yep. From January to December 2023 in 1 year. Listen to this too. The Freedom of Information Act, Freedom of Information Act lawsuit against President Joe Biden Immigration Agency reveals that they will not disclose the information about the secret migrant flights, meaning which 42 airports that they landed in and released the migrants in, because they're worried about the vulnerabilities and national security. So they're concerned about national security, so they're not going to release the information unless there's a lawsuit. Yet, we're allowing people unvetted to come into our country as if that's not a national security.
Yeah. I would think what Biden did right there is just illegal to do. Now, I guess in a crisis like we had in Afghanistan, for example, when people are flying out, maybe they fly some of the people over here, you know. But other than that, I can't think of. This isn't what we're talking about. We're talking about Trump. We're talking about Biden and these planes. The Biden administration instructing these planes to go and pick up illegal immigrants and bring them here.
And fly them because they say the border's so busy.
Right.
That's it. Up. That's what they're saying.
We're going to help these folks to avoid the congestion at the border. By the way, the congestion at the border has been caused by Biden.
Right.
So we're paying. You and me, the American taxpayers, Fred, we are paying for the government to bring in illegals who are breaking the law the moment the plane lands. How could that possibly be legal to do that?
All right. This story, so people will know where you're getting your information from, we can't post it on our Facebook page, Today's Issues, right now. Brent's going to do this after the show. But I saw this last night when I was reading in the Daily Mail, which is a British publication on the internet with news stories every day. What's the headlines? If people want to look it up.
Biden administration admits flying 320,000 migrants secretly into the U.S. to reduce the number of crossings at the border has national security quotation vulnerabilities.
And how was this learned? Again, the Freedom of Information Act.
Yes, it was a.
You have it, Wesley, pulled up.
Yeah, I have the link. Story? I have the story pulled up on my phone here.
Okay, what did you say for you? The Freedom of Information.
Yep, Freedom of Information Act
was used by who?
The Biden administration.
No,
well, no, against.
It was a lawsuit against the Biden administration.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, that's
because they're demanding they're demanding more details than the Biden administration's giving is what they're demanding, which is where, because they flew him to 42 different cities.
Yeah. And I just remember, the story I was referring to earlier was a couple of years ago. You remember we began seeing these stories where these illegal immigrants were being flown around the country by Biden, leaving Texas airports and Arizona airports, and Biden was flying them around the country in the middle of the night. You remember they would get off and he was trying to hide it.
That's right. Yeah.
He was trying to hide it from the general public, and the media, some media caught on to it, especially that was happening. They were shipping them to New York City, to state of New York and Florida. Two members, DeSantis, Governor DeSantis shut that down. Uh-huh. You remember that? They were flying in Jacksonville, I think. Biden was flying planes into Jacksonville, dropping people off, and DeSantis caught on to it, and he shut it down. He said, no more, you can't fly into Florida anymore and do this. Anyway, did you want to say something?
Yes, that link to that story you're talking about is posted on Today's Issues Facebook page.
Now?
Yes, now.
Okay, you got it now? Okay,
yes.
Today's Issues Facebook page. Ray, go ahead. You were going to say?
Yeah, this is almost, guys, to me, like an actual attack on our borders that is instituted at the highest levels of the United States government. Now, what you described, Tim, was them moving them around inside the country. That's awful. But this is much worse. Our own government is bringing, at our expenses, bringing people in and breaking the law in the process.
Listen, okay, my memory goes back to, I'm talking about presidents, my memory goes back to Nixon. I remember Nixon v. Humphrey in, what was that minute, 68? Is that right?
Yeah.
You older fellas?
Right.
Yes, in the room.
I was there.
You were there, Ray?
Was there.
Okay. Yeah.
68.
Okay. Listen, we've had liberal Democrats for a long time. I never, ever would have thought we would have a president of either party, in this case a Democrat, certainly not a Republican, who sabotaged his own country. Biden has sabotaged, and maybe his own chances at reelection, his own country.
Well, on the political side, talk about gift wrapping an issue and giving it to Mr. Trump.
Yeah.
Trump ought to mention this in every day. Single speech. But would John F. Kennedy have done this? It's impossible to imagine that. No.
No.
Hubert Humphrey, no.
No. No.
Scoop Jackson, no.
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 No. Listen, Bill Clinton or Barack Obama wouldn't have done this. They wouldn't
I don't think Clinton would.
No.
I don't think Clinton would have.
No. Absolutely not. And here's the thing: what's happening is,
remember Barack Obama said, "I can't make the DACA."
Yes,
deferred.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
I mean,
I don't have the legal.
Listen, I didn't care for Obama and his politics, but he was much better than Biden on things like this.
Yes.
He was much better. At least he had some semblance of conscience about the illegal immigration.
Well, and his numbers. Trump's numbers were better, obviously, than Barack Obama during his time, as it relates specifically to the number of illegal immigrants coming over. But they were fairly comparable. Trump's were better, but they were not that far off. But if you look at Biden, he has tripled.
Oh yeah, he just opened the floodgates.
Yeah, I mean, my point is, you could prove that Trump did a better job than Obama, but they were still, compared to Biden, they were still in the ballpark. We're not even in the ballpark.
And if Biden doesn't lose in November?
Oh, you'll be at 20 million.
Oh, if Biden doesn't lose in November, what they'll do is completely shut down. They'll take all
the border control.
They'll just say, y'all, no resistance at all.
Yeah, 100%. Yep.
We're not even going to pretend anymore.
Yep.
No country in history has ever done what's going on right now.
That's right.
In our southern border. They haven't.
No.
You know, just allowing an invasion of the country. Joe Biden has orchestrated an invasion of his own country.
And then he acts like he's helpless to do anything to stop it.
Yes.
The Republicans.
All right.
I was just watching.
I'm going to pass the blood pressure machine around, fellas. We can all take our blood pressure right here, and then we go ahead.
I was going to say, I'm wondering in their calculation of this policy, whether they thought about eventually we're going to start to really irritate our own base. I'm talking about Democrats.
That's right.
I don't think they ever considered that.
I don't know.
Yep. They just had a story on Fox a moment ago. The public education system in Chicago is now being forced to educate 6,000 illegals.
Yeah, most of them can't speak English, I'm sure.
Yes, it's going to cost the city $2 billion to educate illegals.
What they're going to start doing, Wesley, let me make sure I explain what I'm saying. I thought the question was, did you ever think, what was your question, Fred?
Did you ever think, in calculating this policy,
did Biden
think about what happens if this starts to, you know, these illegals move into New York, go to Chicago?
Okay. My opinion on that is no. He did not count on the Democrats resisting him on this, but they are.
That's right.
They're starting. At least some of them are high profile, starting to. And they're either doing that because they see the reality of what's happening in the streets, or they know the political implications are killing Biden.
Mm-hmm. Well, kids are being kicked out of their baseball parks.
Yeah, yes. Chicago, New York, Philadelphia, Boston, Denver. Yeah, yeah. And you know, I'm laughing.
Oh, sure. Huh? I get you. Absolutely.
And I'm not laughing because people suffer.
No.
But I'm laughing because you get what you vote for. And these Democrat big cities, they peered down their nose at Arizona and Texas and said,
"That's right.
You know, we're a sanctuary city. We welcome all." and then they said, Texas and Arizona, y'all need to suck it up down there. And,
that's right.
And don't be racist and don't be bigots. Well, guess what? All of a sudden, all these people came to New York and Chicago and San Francisco. And guess what? We discovered there's a whole lot of bigots and racists.
That's right.
In New York and Chicago who don't want the as long as it doesn't affect them personally, then they can be superior. Morally superior.
There has been times in history where you wonder at times, like, how much are the Republicans really care about this when you get down to how they vote? But to give the Republicans credit where it's due, they did step up and bus these illegal immigrants to these sanctuary cities. And if they had not have taken that bold move to do that, we would be talking about it, but it would not be a national story, and it would not be the number one thing that voters are concerned about if they had not have done that.
Governor Abbott is the main one who deserves credit for that. We've invited him on the program. Hopefully we can visit with Governor Abbott coming up soon of Texas. Next story, Fred.
All right. We're well aware of what's certainly going on a day-by-day basis in Israel and their ongoing war against Hamas terrorists in Gaza. The Biden administration now has moved to a point where it is pressuring Israel to withdraw. They're saying ceasefire. There's talk this morning about the pressures on Israel for a six-week ceasefire. Hamas is involved in these talks going on in Cairo right now as we sit here. And Hamas is saying, we want Israel totally out of Gaza in that 6 weeks. Israel basically has said it's a non-starter. In the midst of all of this, the United Nations issued a report yesterday, and we want to give a little warning right here to our audience who may have little kids listening. There's going to be some sensitive material here we're going to talk about. The United Nations has not been a friend of Israel for years and years and years, but they issued a report yesterday on what happened in particular to Israeli women on October the 7th. The report also says this atrocity of sexual attacks against these women are continuing. Basically, they talked about women being tortured. They talked about women being held hostage still are being sexually tortured. We asked Gary Bauer, who is member of a high-profile pro-Israel group, to respond to this. This is what Gary Bauer had to say, cut number 12.
I think even the fools that run the United Nations periodically get mugged by reality, and if they have any sense of decency at all, they've got to speak up. What Israel is facing in Gaza is a terrorist infrastructure. They kill Israeli civilians after they've raped the women, and then they hide behind civilians in Gaza to prevent Israel from getting justice. If Hamas and Islamic Jihad were winning the war against Israel, there would be no demonstrations in the United States, and there would be no demands from President Biden or Vice President Kamala Harris for a ceasefire. I hate to say this to our friends in Israel, but Joe Biden is willing to sacrifice Jerusalem if that's what he has to do to make sure he wins Ann Arbor, Michigan.
There you have it. And this, you know, Biden is facing opposition within his own party from the hundreds of thousands of Arabs in Detroit, in Minneapolis, Somalis in Minneapolis, because they want him to demand a ceasefire and for Israel to stop altogether. But then on the flip side, he's going to pressure Israel for a ceasefire, and if Joe Biden gets his way, then there's going to be a lot of people in this country that are saying, we are forsaking Israel. We've never done that as a country, but we are forsaking Israel, and the United States will pay for it.
Well, it's one thing to stay neutral and stay out of it. It's another thing to give any indication that you're siding with Hamas.
Yeah. Yeah, he tries to say, Biden initially did support Israel initially, and then ever since then he's been backing off.
That's right.
His support. There's a lot of Jews in America that vote, and they almost all vote Democrat. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of Jewish influence within the Democrat Party structure. So there's a tension there between.
You know, I hate to say it. It's sort of what Gary Bauer said there at the end, that we have to say to our friends in Israel, you right now do not have the unwavering support of the administration in Washington. They push back and forth. Can you imagine? Can you imagine saying, after all the blood, after all the suffering, after all that's gone on in the war in Gaza, that the IDF troops have moved in, to say we're going to have a six-week ceasefire and all the Israeli troops are going to be taken out for 6 weeks, which simply gives Hamas a chance to rebuild and rearm and attack again. So it is a non-starter. I'm not surprised at that back and forth. It is sad to think that President Biden seems to be, is he, what would you say? He is lukewarm in his support.
Lukewarm, waffling.
Yeah.
Trying to do more intervention in terms of dictating to Israel what they can and can't do. Now, again, this is where you have somebody like Biden who's mentally unable to process all the information, in my opinion, or handle things on a 24/7 basis. So he's basically designated this to, is it Anthony Blinken, the Secretary of State?
Yes.
And then the Kirby, is it John?
John Kirby.
John Kirby. What's his title?
He's a national security advisor.
Those two guys are running the country. Basically, those two guys are running our international part of the presidency in Israel. So Biden's basically he is saying some things, but he's basically letting them run it. As I mentioned yesterday, and I hate to say it like this, but this is a death match.
It is.
Between Israel and Hamas. And Israel's goal is to squash Hamas once and for all. Now, I'm talking about militarily. The ideology of Hamas, which is hatred for the Jews from the time they're born, that's not going away. I'm sad to say, anytime soon, because it's built on, they hate Jews because of Israel's existence in the first place. And we talked about some of that history yesterday. But it's, when I say, Ray, it's a death match.
Yeah. That's what it is.
Yeah.
There's no middle ground.
No.
that how are you going to make peace or even talk about a ceasefire with people who want to wipe you off the face of the earth from the river to the sea? Palestine will be free. That's what these, that's what they're teaching the Palestinian kids in the school.
Yeah.
So they do not want Israel in the land at all. I don't see how you make peace there.
Yeah. Let me give a real quick explanation. Maybe a lot of Americans will understand, right? You live in Kansas City, Kansas, right?
Right. Right.
Okay. There's Kansas City, Kansas. There's Kansas City, Missouri. What if they were two different countries or two different areas, and the people of Kansas City, Missouri went into Kansas City, Kansas and murdered 1,200 people on one day, and then Kansas City, Kansas started responding militarily, and then the whole United States goes, hey, stop.
Ceasefire.
Hey, stop, Kansas City, Kansas. You need to quit retaliating against the people who slaughtered your,
yeah.
Huh?
Not to mention, there is nothing about Hamas that fights within fair war. I mean,
hide behind women and children, hospitals, mosques.
Hostages.
Schools.
They do that because they use them as human shields.
That's right.
To keep Israel from attacking. And then if Israel does attack, then they say, look, Israel bombed a hospital.
Yes.
And, you know, that is happened.
Is that obvious?
That happened within the first few days.
That's right.
Remember that? And yes. Then the media had to go back and say, oops, we were wrong. Israel didn't bomb a hospital.
That's right.
All right. We'll be back momentarily with more of today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.